Reconciling Two Realities. In this season of Advent, we await the celebration of the birth of our Savior. For most of us, these 4 weeks pass quickly. We're busy buying and wrapping gifts, baking, attending holiday gatherings, and preparing for Christmas. But for the Old Testament prophets waiting for the arrival of their Messiah, the time did not pass quickly. In fact, about 700 years passed between Isaiah's prophecy and Christ's ministry, death, and resurrection. Isaiah prophesied the Messiah would be a descendant of David, born of a virgin, and be a light unto the nations. He prophesied the Messiah would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Daniel said the Messiah would have an everlasting dominion that would not pass away, and his kingdom is one that would never be destroyed. Yet other prophecies described a Messiah who would be despised and rejected, struck down by God and afflicted. They depicted a righteous sufferer who would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, cause some people to stumble, and be sacrificed as the ultimate Passover lamb. Isaiah, Daniel, Zechariah, and the others didn't fully understand their own prophecies. They were simply recording the revelations of the Spirit, which is why reconciling the realities of these two seemingly inconsistent prophecies presented obstacles to their belief in Jesus as the Messiah. How could the Messiah be a conqueror and King of Kings while also being a man of sorrows? How could a suffering servant come in regal splendor and reign forever while also dying on a cross? It didn't make sense. Some rabbis concluded these quote-unquote paradoxical prophecies must mean there were two coming messiahs. They attempted to resolve the contradictions by concluding that Meshaik ben Yosef, the suffering servant who would die on a cross for the atonement of our sins, was separate from Meshaik ben David, the conquering king who would reign over all. Others dismissed these prophecies on the basis that it was inconceivable for the Son of God to dwell among them as a man. What they couldn't comprehend, but we now know, is that the suffering servant and King of Kings are one in the same. One set of prophecies was about Jesus' first coming, his crucifixion and resurrection, and the other was about his second, his return from heaven as a fulfillment of his promise to receive us fully to himself. Make sure you visit my blog post to actually see the image of the prophets and their vision and how they were unable to see that the suffering servant and King of Kings were actually one and the same. So the suffering servant and King of Kings are one and the same, just as we can both suffer the consequences of living in a fallen world while walking victoriously as co-heirs with Christ. We can struggle with sin and still be seen as righteous because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. We can be in pain and still have hope because we know that suffering produces endurance and endurance produces character and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can even consider it pure joy when we face trials of various kinds because those trials produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and proven character produces hope, which is what we have as believers because of our faith in Jesus. Hope is a person who bursts peace and joy into any and every situation. In the words of Tracy Tiernan, if the strength and results behind our hope are up to us and how consistently and intensely we ask for what we want, hope will break our hearts. But when our hope is powered by a promise that God has made, we are invited to hope in a new way, putting it all out there with full trust and confidence that the best possible answer to all my longings has been guaranteed by the Lord. Jesus is my living hope, the hope that won't ever be disappointed, the hope that overrides all the other hopes. This, friends, is why we can consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. Because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance, and when perseverance finishes its work, we will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, God is using all of it to build our character and make us whole. Over 2,000 years ago, the Old Testament prophets could not see what lie between the seemingly inconsistent realities that would weave the prophecies together. From their vantage point, they couldn't see the period of time between Jesus' suffering and his second coming that enabled both sets of prophecies to be true. We often do the same, struggling to reconcile two truths that appear to be opposites because we can't see past the obstacle right in front of us. From our vantage point, it doesn't make sense. A good God with pain and suffering, a loving God with war and hate, a God who is with us yet can feel so distant, especially during our most difficult times. It's because we can't see what comes in between. We allow the uncertainty to overcome our faith. But faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is from Hebrews 11:1. Sometimes we tell ourselves if we could just see past our pain, if we could find the answers we've been seeking or achieve the outcome we desire, if we could just get a glimpse into the future, then we wouldn't be so disappointed, disheartened, or depressed. But friends, we already know the end of the story. We already know Jesus will come again in splendor and glory. We've been promised he will wipe every tear from our eyes and that there will be no more death or mourning. We know what's coming. We've been promised the old order of things, the crying and pain, will all pass away. This is written in the word of the Lord in Revelations 21:4. So don't let the mountain in front of you hinder your faith. Don't let your vantage point from whatever valley God is leading you through today keep you from believing that victory is coming. You might only be able to see the mountain now, but God sees so much more. When you stick with him, he will make your feet like hinds' feet and take you to walk upon high places so that you can see the glory that awaits. Habakkuk 3:19 tells us, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." Through faith, I can have assurance of what I do not yet see, by trusting in the Lord and his good plans for me. You can too. Today, as you stand in solidarity with Jesus in your pain, whether physical or emotional, trust that he will increase your capacity to love and serve, to know him more personally, and to experience the power of his resurrection more fully. Trust that his grace is sufficient. Do not let your heart be troubled when you go through turbulent times, but instead invite them to help you put your faith, hope, and trust in the Lord. Ask him to help you see past the immediate to the fulfillment of his promises and your eternal inheritance. I'd like to leave you with this. The difficulty of your circumstances does not detract from God's goodness. He is still faithful. His love for you is still unwavering and everlasting. Hold your head high in anticipation of your blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and he will lift you up to see the victory that he already sees. God bless you and your loved ones this Christmas.